was an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Filmmaking Ain't For Pussies. Hope y'all had a great week. Oh, before I forget, I want to add one thing to the last episode. There are people who still smoke cigarettes. So if you have anybody on your cast or crew who smokes cigarettes, please make sure you get some ashtrays. You don't want to leave a bunch of cigarette butts laying around the location. Right? So find out who smokes, get them an ashtray. Tell them to use the ashtray. And you know, here in SoCal, with the fire danger 365 days a year, you know, we can't have people with cigarettes just throwing their butts on the ground. So let's add that to the last episode. Things that you must have on set during production. That clip you heard was from the original Exorcist. The Exorcist. And there's a reason I'm playing that clip. I love Oscar season because I love movies, okay? I hate Hollywood, but I love movies, just like you do. And many of you know that David Gordon Green was in the class that graduated behind my class. And I have watched most of David Gordon Green's movies, as I have watched most everything that all of my fellow alumni have put out. Hold on, let me clarify. The alumni from the ultra-talented class behind me and my way inferior class. Losers. Excuse me, I got something in my throat. Losers. I'm just kidding. Not really. Danny McBride, Jeff Nichols, Jody Hill, Craig Zobel. I tried to keep up with all their work. Well, Mr. David Gordon Green did the remake of The Exorcist, and it is nominated for quite a few Razzie Awards. Now, most of you know what the Razzie Awards are. If the Oscars acknowledge great films, the Razzies acknowledge crap films. And I don't understand why Mr. David Gordon Green decided to take on the Halloween franchise, and then he dipped his toes into the Exorcist franchise. Dude, in my eyes, that's blasphemous. You kidding me? Don't touch the classics, please. Now, to me, The Exorcist is it's in my top five movies. Scared the shit out of me when I saw it the first time, and scares me now. It just freaks me out. And I think it holds up, except for some of the effects. But you know, there was no CGI back then, so everything was practical. But let's take a look at the Razzie nominations for Mr. David Gordon Green. I don't know what this means. Worst screen combo? The Exorcist Believer. Worst screenplay? The Exorcist Believer. Written by Mr. David Gordon Green and Peter Sattler? I have no idea who that person is. Worst director? Mr. David Gordon Green for The Exorcist Believer. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel? The Exorcist Believer. And finally, worst picture? The Exorcist Believer. And just like Best Picture for the Oscars, Worst Picture is for the producers, the executive producers. So Mr. David Gordon Green's name is not listed here. It's Jason Blum, David Robinson, and James Robinson. But the film that he directed is nominated for Worst Picture. You know, I don't take any satisfaction in my alumni being nominated for Razzie Awards. I'm kind of embarrassed for him. But he'll learn. He will learn. Just like we all do. And speaking of learning, ha ha ha, I told y'all one of my biggest mistakes in making my award-winning feature film, The Hike, was I allowed alcohol onto the set. And I told you last episode that I was going to tell you all about it. And here we go. Our lead actress at the time worked in LA at a bar. And I guess, from what I understand, it was a whiskey bar. They have different types of whiskey. Now, I'm not a liquor drinker. I drink wine and I drink beer and that's it. I know nothing about whiskey. So one day at lunch, a bunch of people started talking about whiskey, and they started listing their favorite whiskeys. She chimed in with her faves, and she asked people, you know, did you try this brand? Did you try this brand? Have you tried this brand? So she had the idea that one day she would bring in different bottles of whiskey, and we could do a tasting. It's like a wine tasting, but it's a whiskey tasting. So I remember she actually asked me about it, if it'd be cool. I said, well, if we're going to do that, let's just wait and do it on the last day. Kind of a celebration kind of thing. In the moment, I didn't think twice about it. When she asked me, you know, kind of went in one ear and out the other. I mean, what can it hurt? We're just going to sip some whiskey, right? It turns out that we actually shot the hike pretty much in order, which was kind of cool. We didn't quite plan it that way, but it kind of fell into place. So if you have seen the movie, the last 20 minutes was the last day of shooting. The last day rolls around and we're all happy. I'm ecstatic. I'm a little concerned because I didn't have my lines memorized for the very last day. Kind of had to memorize them on the fly. So lunchtime rolls around and the lead actress goes to her car and brings, I don't know, she had like 4 or 5 bottles of whiskey. When we went to lunch, we usually spent a half hour at lunch, just resting, relaxing after you get done eating. Now, typically, when I got done, I went and got a head start on what we were going to do next. So I left everybody. Sometimes the cinematographer would go with me. But on this particular day, I saw she had like 5 bottles of whiskey. I was concerned about my lines, so I wanted to eat my lunch, go to my car, read my lines, try to get my shit together for the rest of the day. I'm ready to go. I get out of the car. I head to the location where we're going to shoot next, which, if you remember, like home base was in the middle of this circle. And home base was actually the house where the location owners lived. And we were maybe 50, 75 yards away from their house and were set up. And then north, south, east, west, we had different looks each way we went. So lunchtime was at the home base. When it was time to get back to work, people just typically walked to the next location, which was 50 yards away, 100 yards away. I'm done eating. I head to the location. I look at my watch. It's time to get back to work. And I look and I see people walking towards me and the location that we're going to start shooting. And people are happy. They're laughing. It's all good. You know, they had a good time drinking their whiskey. So far, so good. DP comes over. I ask him, how was it? He said, yeah, he had a sip of all 5 and, you know, he can pretty much handle his liquor. He didn't have any problems whatsoever. I don't even think he had a buzz. So I'm looking around and we had 2 makeup artists who were both women. Let's call them lead makeup artist and assistant makeup artist. I hired the lead makeup artist. I talked to her, interviewed her. I hired her. I knew I needed 2 makeup artists. So I mentioned that to her, and she said, well, I've got somebody that I can bring along to help. I said, cool, problem was solved. I'm watching everybody come back from lunch, and I notice the assistant makeup artist can barely stand up. She is so shit-faced. Oh my God. She plops down on the ground. A few minutes later, she starts puking. Once we get the makeup situated, without her help, obviously, the lead makeup woman helps her back to home base. Now, I don't know how much time elapsed. I can't remember how much time elapsed. A number of us had to go back to home base to swap out cards and batteries. And then we were going to return back to the location that we were currently shooting at. When I walked back to home base, on the porch of the owner's house, which we were not allowed to be on, we were set up way far away from the house because those of you who remember, these folks worked from home and they didn't want a bunch of noise and they didn't want a bunch of commotion. So they asked us to stay away from the house, which we did. But there on the steps of the porch was this makeup artist who had drank too much whiskey and she was passed out. And who was there with her? One of the owners of the house. You talk about being embarrassed. I was a location manager. I dealt with these folks. If there were any problems, they came to me. You know, the location owner was, she was cool about it, but I could tell she was perturbed. And I can't remember her words, but she's like, Dave, you got somebody passed out here. the lead makeup artist, went over to her, set her up. She wasn't totally unconscious, but she was way inebriated. I asked the lead makeup artist to get her off the porch, get her away from this house. She said she would take her to her car. Let me backtrack. The assistant makeup artist rode with the lead makeup artist. The lead makeup artist said, hey, I'll just take her to my car, put her in the back seat, let her sleep it off or try to get some coffee down her. I said, that's a great idea. Just stay with her. We're good with makeup. If we need anything, we'll send somebody back to get you, and then that person will stay with her. I turned around in disgust and went back to where we were shooting. When we wrapped and everybody went back to base camp, I looked over and saw the lead makeup artist in her car with the assistant makeup artist, who was now sitting up and awake, but she looked like shit. She looked like she'd gone to hell and back. poor girl. Now, I have no one to blame but myself. It was just a lapse in judgment. I pretty much felt like the crew were professional enough that they would maybe take a sip of each whiskey and stop. And for the most part, that's what the camera crew did, because their boss did that, so they didn't want to drink any more than their boss. The makeup artist who got drunk, she didn't have any supervision. I don't know her fellow makeup artist. I don't know what happened there. And at this point, I really don't care, but she just lost control. I used the word disgusted just a few seconds ago. What disgusted me was the assistant makeup person's lack of professionalism, as well as the lead makeup person allowing her assistant to drink that much. I wasn't there. I don't know if the lead was observing the assistant. They may have been on opposite sides of the lunch area. Who knows? There's a ton of blame to go around, and I will shoulder my part of the blame, but you know, I just don't have patience for people who have no discipline. I really don't. Now, it looked bad for me, obviously. I looked bad allowing it to happen. And I talked to the owners about it, and I apologized, and they seemed to be cool with it, but it still reflected horribly on me. I chalk it up as a learning experience. How many of us get put into a situation where we don't want to be Debbie Downer, the party pooper, the guy who pisses in everybody's Wheaties, you know, and we just kind of go along to go along? At the time, I didn't want to rain on everybody's parade. It was the last day. I mean, I felt good too. If they would have had wine or beer, I would have partaked. But since I don't drink liquor, then, I wanted nothing to do with it. So that's the story. You know, once again, I think I've said in a previous episode, you can win and you can lose. And if you lose, it's still a win, because you're going to learn from that loss. So that day, I lost some respect, I'm sure, in the eyes of the owners of the location. Maybe even some of the crew, who knows, for allowing it. I don't know. But it's still a win, because I learned from it. And if it ever happens again, I'm going to put my foot down. Simple as that. Because you've got to consider it a business. You're not there to be their buddies. You're not there to be their best friends. You're not there to party with them. You're there to make a movie. You are paying them, so you are essentially their boss. So next time, it's not going to matter what people think when I say, no, we're not having wine tasting. We're not having beer tasting. We're not drinking alcohol. We're not having any drugs on the last day, just because it's the last day and we're celebrating. Wee, yay. Put in that situation again, I will say, no, sorry. After we wrap, you can do whatever you want to do. You can get as shit-faced as you want. And, you know, look, what if the assistant makeup artist had driven her own car and would have gotten a car and driven away and gotten an accident and killed somebody? And then they traced the alcohol back to the shoot. I was liable. If it happens to you, you'll be liable. That's another reason to not have any of that junk on your set. Save it for when you get home. Save it for after you wrap. But don't ever, ever do it during a shooting day. Never, ever. All right, let's get out of here. Hope you all have a great week. And always be a lion and not a sheep. Later.